Professor, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Church Planner Podcast. I'm here with a great guest, Robbie C. I actually have heard some of your music back in the day. You were a worship pastor, obviously, very gifted. But I've been actually wanting to have a conversation like this for a long time, because so often in church planting circles, we talk about church planting and we talk to church planters about church planting. And part of that is when you're building an attractional model church or a legacy model church, worship is at the center. It's the second most visible position in the church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And church planters don't talk about it, other than how do you get me one of those? You know,
where do I find them? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to have a conversation with you today about, you know, obviously all things worship and church planting. But one of the conversations that we were just talking about is friendship. And you're leading tons of worship leaders. And I'm guessing you've had a front row seat to burnout in church. And I think one of the biggest reasons we get that is because we're so isolated at the top. The lead pastor doesn't know what the worship pastor's really having to go through. Nobody knows what the lead pastor's having to go through. Nobody are really friends. They're deal friends, not real friends in the terms of Arthur Brooks, you know? And so what I think there's a mission in the church right now to go, hey, friendship is important, because if you haven't read the Bible, relationship is the point. So
community.
Yes, exactly. So I would love to hear you know, who are you? What have you done? What are you doing now? And let's start there with friends.
Man, I love that. I've got the best job on the planet. I do, Chesley. I interact with more worship leaders, I think, than just about anybody. I mean, I don't know who else. There's somebody out there, but I just, you know, as you said, I've led worship, I've written songs, the church singing together has been my passion for decades, and my role at the Worship Initiative really just allows me a front row seat to what is happening in churches, big and small, across the country and really the world. And the Lord has allowed me to be in a spot where I get to, man, hopefully encourage the men and women who are standing in front of a congregation and really engaging what I always say is the most subjective art form on the planet. You know, I mean, music, everybody's got opinions. I don't know if you know that, Chesley, but this is...
Oh, yes, I do. I tell my friends, I have firm opinions loosely held. They could change at any moment.
Yeah. I mean, yes, firm opinions loosely held is a great way to say that. And then you add a spiritual component to that. And I say all that to really answer your question, man, because when you look at the complexities of that, this is not the hardest job on the planet, but it's complex. Mm-hmm. Leading worship is complex. People have strong opinions, and oftentimes it leads men and women to isolation. It leads them to a place where they just kind of get into a protection. I'm going to protect my heart. This is a tough spot. And of course, that eventually leads to folks feeling burnout or just saying, you know what, I'm going to go sell insurance because this is too much, you know. And if people who are listening, if they go, what is the Worship Initiative? Man, I'll tell you, I'm happy to answer that question. But at the end of the day, if we're not a place that is maybe one of many places saying, do not do this alone. Don't do it alone. It won't work. And I think all of us speak from experience. I'm sure your ministry background, my ministry background, there are moments where I was fairly isolated. And of course, that doesn't just lead to burnout. I mean, let's be real. When we read the scriptures, it leads to sin. Mm-hmm. It leads to a place where I'm not actively studying God's word, confessing sin, inviting correction, inviting encouragement, prayer, And that isolation, of course, then leads to leaders who are moving on. And so we want to be a place. I'll tell you more about what we do. But at the end of the day, if we're not somebody waving our hands and saying, don't do it alone, we ought to be that place for worship leaders across the country.
I totally agree. You just actually talked about the way I got into ministry. I was selling insurance, hoping I'd get a ministry position. So
that's awesome.
Exactly the opposite direction.
I love it. I love that. And hey, we all need insurance.
But
you know, it's funny. I say that not flippantly. I met a guy recently who just said, man, I led for over a decade. And my father-in-law called and I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go sell insurance with my father-in-law. You know, I mean, that's a real thing. And so, but I got recruited.
It was an executive pastor that stopped being an executive pastor to go sell insurance. I am trying to be a church planter going, I need a job and hopefully a job that's flexible. Little did I know, it wasn't as flexible as I thought it would be.
But
That's so good. I think friendships are one of the most important subjects right now. It's always been important. It's getting a little bit more light shine. Simon Sinek is talking about it. I think there's just a cultural moment with technology and where we're at as a culture that we're going, oh, you know what? I feel alone and isolated, and that's probably not a good thing. But I think in the church world, it's very, very, very difficult because you're wearing so many hats with every person in front of you, and you'd never have an off moment. And I think when it comes to friendships, the friendships that you have that are the best are the ones you don't have to wear any hats on. You can take them all off, let your hair down. You don't have to have a filter. Like, how are you guys tackling that for worship leaders?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because let me zoom out 1 second, and then I'm going to answer your question, because I want folks to understand what it is that we're doing here. And I think a lot of people have heard our name, The Worship Initiative. They maybe have streamed our music, or maybe Shane and Shane have come up, or maybe my music. And they're like, what are these folks doing? Number one, we are a place to learn songs that are true. We want the church singing the truth of God's word. And so we want to curate songs and hymns and spiritual songs that are true, and invite leaders to, hey, come and learn these songs and lead them. So, you know, to boil it down, we're going to start with songs, but it's more than songs, Chesley. I don't know if you know this, but it's way more than songs. Worship ministry. I got into this thing because I'm thinking, man, I want to lead some songs. And then I realized, wow, I'm now leading a team and my team is growing as the church is growing, and I've got a budget. Oh my gosh, I can't even balance my own checkbook, but they want me to oversee a budget for ministry. And all of a sudden I'm needing training for ministry and leadership that I didn't have. And so, you know, the Worship Initiative, songs and training, that is, we want you to come, we want you to grow as a leader. But then to answer your question, I told you I'd get around to it. We also want to be a place of community. I mean, we could be raising up unbelievable worship leaders here. And we could be patting ourselves on the back. Look at all these men and women who are ready for ministry and are thriving. And yet, to our point earlier, if they're isolated, if they're not in community, if they're not connected, both within their, by the way, when I say in community, that feels kind of like, you know, okay, what am I saying? I think within their own church community, right? So are they studying God's word? Are they in, whether it be small group or however it is that fleshes out, but also outside of their community? I think it's really important for, as you know, I mean, this is what you do, church planters and especially worship ministers. They've got to have others outside of their context who understand their context.
Yeah.
I need to have a group of people who, by the way, I love the way you put that. Let me take off all the hats that I'm supposed to be wearing. Can I just be real with you? Man, I'm struggling. I need prayer, and I know you understand. I don't have to unpack all the details. You get it. And so we're calling that community 316. All right. You're like, okay, what's the 316 part? Colossians 3:16 is our company verse. It's our life verse, if you will. And what Paul's doing in Colossians is he's writing to the church in Colossae, and he is saying, when you get together, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And then what does he say? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He's giving instructions.
Yeah.
And I love that he's saying this to a group of people. They are a people in community together. Mm-hmm. He's not saying, hey, when you're in your prayer closet all by yourself, and hey, that's the only place. No, no, no. When you get together, by the way, you need to be getting together. I want you to sing. I want you to teach. I want you to admonish one another. I want you to give thanks to God in your hearts. And so Community 316. And then lastly on this, Chesley, before we move on, as a part of that community, this is really our way to say, this is a free invitation. Doesn't cost you a dime. Doesn't cost you any big commitment. Come join us. Let us encourage you. Let's have some conversations we think are meaningful. Some of those are going to be virtual. Some are going to be training days that we're coming to a city near you. But the biggest, the one I'm most excited about is this idea of a leader cohort program, an 8-month program where we could put small groups together across the country, 6, 7, 8 leaders, studying God's word, walking through a very intentional program offered to us. It's going to help you as a leader, but most of all, you're going to make some lifelong friends. You're going to be able to pray together with other human beings who understand what you're going through and be invited into community beyond just the Sunday morning grind that a lot of leaders are experiencing. And so what I'm most excited about is we're launching, that launches in September. And that really is the first time that we've around here in a decade of the worship initiative where we've been able to say, man, let's bring this home to you. At a coffee shop, y'all figure out where you're going to meet. We'll provide the framework for you, but get in community, love one another, support one another, be connected, pray for one another's churches. How beautiful is that, man? And so really excited. That is how the worship initiative is going to address this, this isolation, burnout, loneliness. It's more rampant than you think. We have to address it. Let's do it together, you know?
Yeah, my best friend, he was my church planting coach. And then I moved, actually, we had a digital relationship for like the first, you know, 7 years of our friendship. And then we actually moved 4 houses away from them later. Long story, but he was a pastor of a church down here. And he had a side business that made 7 figures. It was first time moving past $1 million mark. And he couldn't tell anybody about it. And it wasn't just the things that were difficult, because there were things we've talked about those, but it was like, he came to me one day and he's like, you and Beverly's my wife, you and Bev are the only 2 people that my wife and I can share not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff that we wish people would cheer us on for. Like, you two actually get it and you guys cheer with us. There's no like, how dare you or whatever. And just to think that isolation going both ways is just, I mean, it's a difficult position to be in. And I know some of your artists, like, you know, some of the worship leaders that are artists on top of that, like they gain traction. But when that happens, like they become even more isolated because of all the people in there that just don't understand the pressure. They start thinking, wow, you sold out. Like, so it's not just the bad stuff, not I'm struggling. It's also the good stuff where like, well, nobody, I can't share this with anyone. And so,
it's a great point, Chesley. It also reminds me too, sometimes when we're a public figure, by the way, public figure can mean I get up in front of 60 people in a church plant.
Yeah.
I mean, so when I say public, I just mean, man, it consistently, I think I got to take some responsibility. We have to take some responsibility for this as well, because it can often, we can convince ourselves that we know a ton of people really, really well, because people recognize you and they say they see you regularly. So they feel like they know you. But in all reality, I'm not in community with them. In other words, I know everybody, but know no one, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I see that happening a lot. I got thousands of friends online, and I got thousands of, you know, hundreds of contacts on my phone. actually have very few people that I am in real community with. And so we want to remind people, we're not just saying, this is not just how many people do you know? This is a small, and of course, Christ modeled this for us. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? Is it? I mean, his ministry could have fleshed out in a thousand different ways. And it primarily fleshed out with a group of a dozen, yeah. You know?
Intentionally. And so, intentionally.
And that was the plan.
Uh-huh.
And so if that was the plan for Jesus, I mean, we need to take note of that. Who do we know intimately that we're walking with, that we're pursuing faith in Christ with? And so I love it, man. By the way, a podcast like yours, I mean, we could talk about 100 different things, but if we miss this, I mean, it's to my point. We don't need any more worship leaders or pastors in the news crashing and burning. I know that we're not in charge of that, but we can sure do something about reminding leaders that they need true friendships. They need community. They need to be. By the way, my pastor, I love him. He's one of the best preachers. I live in Dallas, Texas. Liz and I just joined the church. Liz is my wife of 27 years. Our kids, we just joined the church. We love the church. We joined a community group. Well, guess who's in the community group? Our pastor. And I just thought, man, he doesn't have to be here, actually.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be studying the word with us, splitting up into guys and gals and praying and confessing hard things and like encouraging one another. I'm like, man, he doesn't have to be doing that. The fact that he's here just gives me I just was so grateful that this man just knows he and his wife, who are amazing people, they need community just like the rest of the body. I was so encouraged by that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, let's shift gears a little bit because, I mean, I could talk about this all day. I think it's very, very important. Church planters, I just got off of a conversation with another leader. And, I mean, that was main topic of conversation. I think it's so very important for leaders not to be isolated and to get in community. But also there's the tangible side of planting churches, right? So, and I've got some, maybe I want to go a different route. As you were talking, something I feel like maybe is a conversation we need to have, worship leaders not thinking that they're pastors. They're the second most visible role in the church, and they get up there and they go, I want to lead songs. But when I'm a church planter, I'm looking at it, who are the team that God has called to be a part of this process? And everybody at the beginning has a pastoral role to play. So they have a missional aspect to what they're doing. And I've been around a lot of worship leaders that don't have a clue that God had designed them to be a missional minister for the gospel. And I think people are gifted in many different ways. You see, God said, or Paul says, Jesus gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Like, they could be gifted in any of those. There's 27 some odd gifts in scripture. I don't think it's an exhaustive list, but there are gifts there and there are many of them, but they're all for the edification of the body of Christ. And I think, you know, obviously singing is a gift and a talent. But I just don't, I think there's a lot of worship leaders out there that don't realize that pastoring is actually, they are called to it. Have you run across that yourself as you've been leading music ministers all over the country?
Well, there's no doubt I've run across it. And I was that, I mean, I was that guy. I was that young. And by the way, it is on me, but it's also on, as we talk about church planting, just to encourage church planters to really consider, what is your vision for this role and for worship ministry? You may not have the most unbelievable leader to launch the church with, and you may go, I don't know when that God's going to bring that leader, but this is the moment that you can have clarity of vision for what it means to, when the people of God gather and they sing things that are true about God, and they're teaching and admonishing one another and then declaring things that are true to God himself. You can have vision for that. And so it starts with you as well. And I think here's the reality is we're in a day and age where if you can sing and play something, some pastor somewhere is going to put you up in front of people.
That's totally true. Yeah.
And I say this all the time, and I'll say it to you, Chesley, is this is one of the few roles that I've encountered. I was trying to think of another role. I really was, like, not just in ministry, but like outside. This is one of the few jobs on the planet you don't have to be qualified for. Like, in fact, if you just said, if your question to me
is your qualification.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
yes,
it's crazy. It's crazy. If you just said, you know, what are the qualifications, at least what seems to be the qualifications out there for this role? Most churches would go, man, if they can get up there and lead some songs, man, that's what we're looking for. Now, I think churches are longing for more. The church planters that we get to speak to,
totally,
they're longing for more than that. So I'm not trying to belittle that at all. That's why I just say, this is the moment. Cast vision for that so that when the Lord brings you that leader, you can invest in them. Because here's the reality, because there's no real set of qualifications, broadly speaking, most of our leaders, we serve 11,000 worship leaders and musicians. Most of them didn't go to college for this.
Right.
Very few went to seminary for this. Okay. Yeah. So of course, they're most excited about leading worship, just like I was when I was 21 years old, put up in front of a congregation, a church plant in my hometown of Houston, Texas. It threw me up there. And I was passionate about leading music. I loved the Lord, but I didn't see myself as a minister. Mm. You kidding me? I didn't know God's word. I didn't know how to minister to other people, how to care for them. And so, man, to answer your question, brother, it's like, of course. And so there's plenty of blame to go around, except here's the exciting part. We're just in a moment right now where I think the church is alert and awake and excited to raise up more than just song leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take some work. It's going to take some investment. But I think because of the work that I do, man, I got a front row seat to what's happening out there. I think there are worship leaders who are excited. I want to grow. I want to grow as a minister. I want to grow as a leader, as a discipler. I want my worship ministry to actually be about discipleship.
Mm.
Brother, I'm telling you right now, there's some excitement there. But it's going to take some work. And it's going to take some work as we think about high school students and college students. We got to remind them that, hey, man, this ain't a gig.
Yeah.
This ain't a gig. All right. Yeah. Let me explain the difference. So there's a lot of excitement. I see a lot of investment in leaders to remind them you are a minister, to your point. You're going to be pastoring and you're going to be leading and you're disciple making. And you've got to have vision for this. Otherwise, you are going to feel like you are not suited for this job. Otherwise, it is going to overwhelm you. And so let's help you prepare for that.
Absolutely. So what would you tell church planters? What would you make them aware of when it comes to picking the right worship leader and having a good relationship? Not just a working relationship, but like helping these worship leaders see themselves as more than just song leaders.
Okay. So, I speak from experience. I grew up in Houston. I'm in Dallas, I've been a part of 3 church plants, and then I've gotten to interact with a ton of church planters. And so I get really excited about this because I think one of the misnomers here is that a church planter needs to potentially wait on finding a leader. Maybe that's immediately, maybe that's year 2, year 3. Once I find that leader, then we'll start to really cast some vision for this. And I just say, no, let me walk you through how you can cast vision. And in fact, I mean, Chesley, you know this, like church planters don't have a bunch of money to offer a worship leader. All right. So they're like, we ain't got no budget. But I can tell you what a church planter can offer a worship leader that, quite frankly, sometimes other churches that might have the paycheck cannot offer. That's clarity and vision around what is happening in corporate worship and then what they're asking of the worship minister. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where they're just in a place. There, nothing is holding, if you're a church planter, nothing is holding you back right now than to cast clear vision for what worship ministry is going to look like in your church. And I promise you, that has a lot of value. There is a lot of disenchantment from worship leaders because they've been serving at a church. Maybe they're getting paid to do it. And it's like, man, this is a great gig. I don't see the mission here. I don't see the heartbeat. I don't understand the why behind it. Feels like we're just toiling. Sunday to Sunday mm-hmm. to Sunday. So this is an exciting moment. Let me give you some examples of this if I can.
Yes.
Because I can hear church planters going, great. Well, you know, what does that mean? how do I cast vision for that? Let me give you some examples. I think listen, if I'm sitting across from a church planner and he says, Robbie, look, come, I want you to come lead worship for me. I got a bunch of money. You gotta make your living elsewhere. It's probably what that church planner is doing to some extent.
Yeah, totally.
But yep. But let me tell you, this is the church planner speaking. Let me tell you, Robbie, here are the priorities for us. Number one, Christ is going to be exalted when we open our mouths to sing. So if you're wondering, okay, what kind of songs we choose? Christ is going to be exalted. Number two, God's word is going to be all over the songs that we sing. We want you to find songs that are filled with God's word, and we want you to sing it. So my own ideas, my own thoughts, whatever comes to my mind, that's not what we're looking for. We want God's word to be sung. Number three, we want the gospel story to be told. In other words, I grew up Baptist, by the way. All right. I don't know about you, Chesley. All right. I grew up Baptist.
I'm a
liturgy.
I was a SBC church planter, but I am all over the map, man.
Okay. Yeah. So liturgy meant zero to me. I'm just gonna be honest. Like, I didn't even know what the word meant.
In fact, I ended up in an RCA church. I got a crash course when I was a student pastor. Yes.
but here's what my good friend Brian Chappell says, right? I mean, he's my Presbyterian buddy, and he wrote one of the best books for any worship leader to read is Christ-Centered Worship. Mm-hmm. Here's what he says. Our liturgy ought to tell the gospel story. You're telling the gospel story. You're telling the best story ever told. Mm-hmm. So as you're thinking about the songs you're singing and the prayers that we're praying and we're putting this together, we're going to tell the gospel story. And if we just think about whatever I don't know what I want to sing, whatever's on the top of my mind, or maybe my favorite songs for this week, there's a chance I'm telling an incomplete story. So how is a church planner casting vision for this? We're going to tell the gospel story in our liturgy every Sunday. Whether we got one person on guitar, we got a full band and a choir, doesn't matter. We're telling the gospel story. Fourth, I'm giving you a few more examples. Yeah. All right. So hopefully this is helpful. Fourth, we want our church to sing. All right. That feels obvious. It's not obvious, by the way. Worship leaders, and I am one, have been one forever, we're dummies. We're dummies. And we pick songs that sound good in the key that we sing, and we sing the melody. We're going all over the place because we want to sound great. And we're just making a bunch of decisions that aren't aimed at the congregation singing.
Yeah.
And man, you want to get us fired up around here? I promise you. By the way, come visit us in Dallas, Chesley. Come on. Yeah. Come visit us at the Worship Initiative. If you walk in here, if you meet Shane and Shane, if you interact with our team, the number one question is the church singing?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're a church planter and you're saying, what are our priorities? Man, say to a young worship leader, it'll feel obvious and you'll feel almost silly for saying it, but say to the church planter, I think your voice is fine, but the greatest voice is the congregation's voice. That's the voice we want to hear. Every decision that you're going to make, I want you to make it for that. How loud is it? Are the lights too bright, too soft? How many people you got on stage? What key are we singing in? How often are we singing the songs? I mean, all of those really point to congregational singing and engagement.
Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning. But Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP.
Yeah, when I was in Omaha, I was doing that. So we were going, we had this whole metric. We would listen every song we had, and we would review which one were the congregation the loudest on. We're going to keep putting that in our rotation and take out the ones that they just didn't engage with. The other thing we did was, if men can't sing it, we won't, because men are the key, because they do not sing. And so we wanted to invite, part of that was teaching them why we do it. You know, so that was very unchurched culture. Why you come into this weird place and you do something that you don't do any other time of the week unless it's in your shower or on your way to work. Like, let's talk about that a little bit. So we had to do some of that.
Well, you hit on what I was going to say, which is great worship leaders have to be great worship teachers. You need church planter, as you're interacting with a church, with a worship leader, you need to say to them, look, I want you to lead worship, but I also want you to teach why we do this. Men, I think you're right, actually. Assuming you're in a decent key and you've introduced the songs, I think men, when you give them the reason that we sing, biblical truths. We're not just here kind of like, this isn't the warm-up for the sermon. 50 times in the Bible, guys, it says, open your mouth and sing. Most of the time, those were men singing. Most of the time, those men were warriors.
Yeah.
Jehoshaphat
is my favorite yes. passage to use. It's like, you got to go out there. You're going to go against the army. And, oh, by the way, we're not going to use any weapons.
we gonna sing. We're going to sing. So I
depended on it. Yeah.
but you've nailed it. I mean, right. That's the thing is I had lunch with Matt Chandler yesterday. Obviously the man knows about church planting. Mm-hmm. This is a major point of emphasis for him. If he's talking worship with us,
yeah,
he's talking about men singing. And I love that you said, man, we got to teach them, give them the reason why we sing and then sing some songs in the key that they can actually sing.
Yeah.
So my point to church planters, as you're casting vision for this, congregational singing and engagement. Next, I got two more if you can.
Yeah, so no, let's go.
I'll recap these. But
no, this is good.
But two more is, hey, we have plans for today. All right. We made it. We got a set list. We got a liturgy. We got a sermon prep. But let's ask the Spirit of God to do maybe what we couldn't do with our planning.
Robbie, you're Baptist. So, can you say that? No, I'm just playing.
Well, hey, I got the planning part. I got the planning part.
Oh, there we go. Plans. Okay, we're fine.
Yeah. Hey, you know, like when I was growing up, hey, we have a bulletin. All right. We got a bulletin. But let's be, if Jesus himself said, I am seeking those who will worship me in spirit and in truth, those two things joined together. Man, let's dig down and figure out what does that mean? What's Jesus talking about? Mm-hmm. And let's ask the Spirit of God who meets us in person together and is moving in power. Let's ask the Spirit of God to do some things that even we don't have planned for today.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. You know, I mean, the extremes of that, right? You know the extremes of that, which is
we will not
deviate 1 ounce from the plan.
Yep.
This is set in stone.
I served in that liturgy. Church, but I grew up in the Pentecostal church, which is when we let the Spirit lead, we ain't leaving for about 3.5 hours.
I mean, so you've seen the extremes. Oh, yeah. Right?
Very much so.
And so, man, let's live in a place that goes, we want to worship in spirit and truth. Mm. We're going to prepare. Then we're going to ask the Spirit to. All right, last one is, man, let's recognize that music is an art form. It's a gift from the Lord. Singing. God wired our minds and our bodies. When we sing and hear singing, our minds remember things differently. That's proven. Mm-hmm. Our bodies react different. Our hormones. I mean, it's wild when you start digging into this stuff. Mm-hmm. God did that. And so let's recognize the beauty in singing and let's pursue excellence. By the way, I think these are somewhat in order, actually. Maybe spirit, you know, but don't leave excellence off the list, but don't, if you put that thing number one, it will hijack all of these other priorities. And so church planter, the reason I say all these, by the way, let me review that real quick, if that's cool. Let's just say again, Christ exalting, God's word. I mean, just word saturated, if I could say it like that, gospel storytelling. Okay. The congregation is singing. They're engaged. That's a priority for us. We are going to be led by and empowered by the Spirit, and then excellence in music and production. Well, here's why I say all that, because I think a church planter goes, I like all that stuff. That sounds great. Again, I don't have a worship leader. I would just charge you, cast that vision early on. Cast that vision and say, by the grace of God, we're going to have men and women that are going to help us do this regularly. And that's what I'm praying for. But I'm not just praying for just a warm body to lead songs. No. God's given us vision for what we're planting in this city, in this moment, and in this time. And corporate worship, He has ordained it. It's commanded. And so I want to make sure you hear me clearly. This is where we're headed. I promise if a church planter will share that with a prospective worship leader, a musician who might join. Man, they're not hearing that every day. They're not hearing that every day. And I promise it'll move the needle as you prepare for those who are going to lead you in worship.
Yeah. If I could be a preacher for a second, what you're saying is vision precedes provision all the time.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So good.
It's got to.
Yeah. Okay. I got another question for you because I've been praying about my wife is, we just had a conversation about that this morning. Been praying about maybe planting again. So it's like, yeah, it's like, are you sure? I'm like, no, that's why I'm praying about it. And I'm like, I'm older and I don't have as much energy. And, somebody said, yes, but you're not as stupid as you used to be. I'm like, touche.
You know, that's probably true too. Yeah.
Oh, very true. But if I do this, one of the problems that I see in the American church is this most, segregated moment in our nation is on Sunday morning when all the white people go to the white church, all the black people go to the black church. And a lot of it has to do with style. Like I can go in and it's music more than anything else. It's not the preaching. It's more the music. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to talk about that. So I'm getting free coaching because my heart is like, I keep going like, man, I think I want a black worship pastor because one, I like fresh gospel more than any of the other genres out there. But like my thought process as a leader is if I am who I am, I can't change my skin color, my heritage, but I could platform another leader that has the ability and almost the amount of influence that I would have. And with the artistry, really gives permission to be who they are. I don't know. I would love to hear your thought process on using worship leadership as an opportunity to become more diverse. And I know it's a buzzword, but for me, it's like, it's a mission for me. I want it to look like heaven in my building, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I'd love to hear what your thought process says on that.
I love that, man. I'm thinking of a conversation I had years ago with John Perkins. I think he's the third. They call him Big John. And his grandfather is John Perkins, the civil rights activist who marched mm-hmm. with Dr. King. He's an absolute legend, wrote the book, Let Justice Roll Down. Mm-hmm. The Perkins family is incredible. At Jackson, Mississippi. Okay. Big John, who the late Big John, he passed away in 2022, sadly. He was a church planter. And he planted a church in a predominantly African-American community in Jackson, Mississippi. I'll never forget that he called me and he said, give me your thought on this because I have zero white people coming to my church. And I'm thinking about hiring a white kid who's coming out of school here in Mississippi. He plays acoustic, you know, and he loves some Tomlin stuff. And I'm thinking, man, this may be what we need. And I remember just having a great conversation. It was a sweet conversation. And both he and I were kind of asking the same thing, which is, man, what are some ways we could move the needle to see our church potentially look a little more like our eternity with the global church, with, you know, like heaven. And I loved that. I always am talking to white brothers and sisters who are thinking, if I had an African-American, if I had a Hispanic leader, perhaps so. And I just love that he called and said, look, I'm thinking about hiring a white dude who plays acoustic and sings a bunch of songs that you know.
Yeah. And yeah.
And I remember thinking, and, you know, in some ways, yes, I think that could be helpful. But we ended up talking about, I remember him really saying to this, he goes, at the end of the day, I've also planted in a neighborhood that's, you know, I don't remember exactly, more than 90% African-American.
Yeah.
And there's no way that I'm going to have some utopian balance. Right. This is where I planted.
You got to look like your community. Yeah.
Right. And I think you know that. And every church planter, I mean, we've all heard that. And so what is our context? Where are we planting? At the same time, is there a way, are there some ways that we can celebrate the fact that when I gather on Sunday, that everything I experience is not necessarily catered just to me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and music really is that. In fact, this goes beyond ethnicity. It goes beyond background. It goes to generation.
Yeah.
And this comes up all the time because, you know, we don't, you want to, unless you're leading in a college town and it's mostly college students, you want a church that's multi-generational. Yeah. But if you start getting into appeasement, I mean, you know this, brother, you start to try to make everybody happy, you're going to make nobody happy. Right?
Very much.
And so it has to be about discipleship. It's part of what you were saying earlier, man. Great. You know, look, great worship leaders have to be the great worship teachers. And by teaching in this moment, we need to be able to say, yeah, if you're under 20 in this room, listen to the words. Listen to the words of Be Thou My Vision. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you catching this? I know you probably don't know this hymn. You're young. We're going to sing this hymn. Do not miss this. If you are, you know, let's say maybe 50, 60 or older, this is a new song, but it's called Firm Foundation. And you know the passage this is coming from, right? And so it's new to you. I want you to learn a new song today. This is a new song a lot of these young people are singing. And we're going to celebrate the fact that we're going to sing songs of old, songs that are new. They're all songs that are true. And when you look around the room, there's going to be these songs that are going to connect with different generations. We're going to celebrate the fact that we are multi. And I think it's true with style. I mean, back to your original question, whether it's a leader or whether it's song and style and preference, mm-hmm. one of the things that we're just going to encourage, by the way, the Worship Initiative's version of That's My King, I think is pretty great. That's My King is the C.C. Winans gospel song. Mm-hmm. It is a jam. Yeah. It's a jam. And we got our buddy Darrell Comedy. He's one of the best gospel singers in the country. He comes and sings it. Why do we do that? Man, we want churches who maybe aren't always thinking about the gospel songs that are out there.
Right.
We could do that. We should do that song.
Yeah.
There's no reason why we, let's just celebrate. It may not be the greatest rendition of it, but let's do that song. There's going to be some people that connect with that song. So I do think style. I do think leaders. If there's a chance to invite a broader range, know your context, know your neighborhood. To my friend, Big John, the late Big John Perkins, to his point, know where you're planting. I get it. But there's probably still some things that we can do practically to help move the needle in that. I do.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty good. Pretty good. So let me ask you a question. What do you see in your experience is the biggest no-no for a church planter and a worship leader together? In their working relationship, what do you keep seeing that just like, quit doing that?
let me say it like this. I'm not an expert on much, but I got some experience here. And I talked to a church planter recently, and I think where we can get into some trouble is, and by the way, I mean, some of the brightest minds in Christendom are church planters right now. I mean, this is a smart, sharp, articulate, these are some amazing folks that I get to encounter who planning churches. You know that to be true. Okay. Mm-hmm. When it comes to worship, they often have a little bit of a wall built up and just go, I'm not certain. I know what I don't like, or I know what I might prefer if I was able to go fine, but I don't know how to cast vision for this. And so if you're asking me, where do I think there's a potential danger between worship leader and church planter? I think the danger is to allow that worship leader to go lone ranger and bring whatever they feel like might fit. And the way that I've articulated this, Chesley, hang with me on this, because I think this will be helpful. But the way that I've tried to articulate it, especially to a church planner, is there is a certain level of implementation that a worship leader needs to catch wind of. They need to grasp, what am I implementing? Vision that is being cast for me that I am now implementing. Mm-hmm. And that has to be paired with a decent amount of innovation. What is this church planter asking me to bring to the table that I get to dream a little bit, pray, ask the Lord, let's try some things and fail. Every good job on the planet actually has both of those things. What I see often with church plants is there's a misalignment on what is what. In other words, and worship leaders are amazing at flipping the two, right? So, I thought you wanted me to, you know, sing, you know, all Elevation songs for the first 8 Sundays of the church. You know, I thought you wanted me to have a 10-piece band, even though there's only 50 people that are coming at the beginning of the church. You know, or I thought you wanted me to. Worship leaders are amazing at flipping the two.
Yeah.
And so this is where the church planner can lean in. Do not make the mistake of just hoping that that worship leader arrives at your vision. And do not make the mistake of not inviting them to dream and pray about some things that you're saying, run with this, come back to me and make some proposals. Let's try some worship nights. Let's try some, let's try a songwriting thing. Let's try a community jam night. I mean, I don't know, whatever it is. But so if you're, let me just summarize, worship leader, church planter, figure out what's to be implemented. Figure out what's to be innovated and make it abundantly clear to that worship leader. Otherwise, you'll find yourself in a tough spot, and you'll find yourself, there's just a lot of disappointment and frustration that results when you're not on the same page there. And we can avoid that. We can help you avoid that for sure.
Yeah. I know that money is important, right? But it seems like all the stuff that you're talking about are actually more important to finding good people, good leaders that will say, you know what? I want to be at the beginning of a new thing.
Yes.
I don't think it's the money that's mostly the issue. I have firm opinions loosely held. So I wrote like 40-page document of here's what I want, you know, probably a little too much. you know, so I probably would not do that this time. I'd be like, here's the bullet points. But I think, you know, what you're saying is I feel like as I'm listening to you, these are the most important pieces of church planting that if you get these right, you're gonna find someone. But I feel like we often look at the money and go, well, the money is the real big kicker. What would you say about that?
Well, here's what I'd say about it. There is a crisis. And the supply and demand are so out of whack. There is not enough supply of healthy, qualified, passionate leaders to meet the demand of leaders that churches have. Yeah. That's just a reality.
That's so true of pastors too, right? That's not just worship pastors.
It's true. And it's true of potentially student ministers. I mean, go down the list, right?
Yep.
My point in saying that though, Chesley, is these men and women who are gifted in leading worship, if they're good at this, they can go find that somebody's going to pay them for this.
Yeah.
So do not start to run down the trail of trying to figure out how you're going to compete with that. You won't. You don't have the funding for that in most cases. And by the way, I don't think it's the right approach. So these leaders can go get paid to do this. And so if they need to go do that, go do that. What they can't often find is compelling vision. Mm-hmm. What they can't often find is purpose, deeper meaning behind musical worship in the local church. And quite frankly, nobody can offer that to them quite like a church planner. I mean, you know all the statistics. I'm sure your podcast is filled with this. The gospel gets shared in the first 2 years of a church plant, and that, you know, more than, you know, the next 2 decades of, you know, whatever the, you know, this is, these are the moments of like, man, I want to be a part of something, to your point. And so do not get involved in fact, just tell them you're going to have to make your living somewhere in some other way. But what I can promise you, number one, we're going to know where we're headed by the grace of God. He's given us vision for this. Number two, as the church grows, you're going to grow. Yeah. And we're going to pay you for it. And so as the church grows, we're going to take care of you. Come join me. By the way, I can list some pretty well-known worship leaders who gave up a lot of potential revenue, income, to go plant a church because they went, I want to be a part of something that means something. By the way, Chris Tomlin was one of them.
Yes, he was. Yes,
you know, and by the way, at that point, he didn't have, you know, his bank account wasn't what it is today. I mean, but he just went, I want to be a part of something. I want to move to Austin. I want to be a part of something.
Yeah.
So church planter, you have a compelling vision like nobody else. Cast that vision. Make your case for these worship leaders. I promise it'll be compelling.
All right. I got one more question. One of the reasons why we're in a leadership dearth is because, our leaders of the previous generation did, I would say, a inadequate to a poor job of leadership development and empowering the next generation. And so if you're a church planter or you're a worship leader listening to this, what do we need to do to not have that happen again?
Well, I can tell you right now, the generation you're speaking of, I think my generation was a part of that. We had a cult.
No, you're like 32. You're my age. You're good looking. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know, I barely remember being 32.
All right? I'm not 32 either anymore. Let's be honest. My hair's receding too far.
We had a cult of personality. We had one man, one woman who was, they're the leader, they're the one. And what you're speaking to is a lack of discipleship and development. And so this starts with a church plant. And it starts, again, by the way, when I talk about casting vision, when you're able to say, look, a win for us, maybe it's not immediate. I get it. We don't have the team yet. But a win for us maybe after year one is that when somebody walks in and is being led in worship, they might not know who the paid person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because wait, she just led a song. Okay, that guy just led a song. She just read scripture. And now wait, what's this guy doing coming up? And he's now introducing. I mean, it doesn't have to be that dramatic, but like some level of plurality of leadership. If that doesn't exist across all of our churches, we're gonna do the same. We're gonna repeat the same. We're gonna have the same failed pipeline of leaders. We're not gonna have leaders. So it's got to be about discipleship and development, and that only happens if we're willing to share the microphone. I mean, honestly, Sunday morning is going to tell you whether or not you have. And it's not just Sunday morning, because students are involved here. Kids ministry, worship in the home, college intern. I mean, there's a bunch of ways that we can talk about discipleship and development. Yeah. But Sunday morning will be a litmus test for you on whether or not it's happening within your church. If one dude is singing all of the songs, there's a good chance there's not a group of men and women who are being raised up to truly be leaders, to be sent out, be raised up within the church, all of the above. So yes, that is our heartbeat. I mean, if you drill down at the Worship Initiative, discipleship and development is at the heart of this. In fact, it's why we say you're going to grow as a musician, you're going to grow as a minister. We've already talked about that, right? But you're going to grow as a multiplier, the three M's. I grew up Baptist. All right, I got my three points, three M's. Yeah. All right. But multiplier is this disciple maker developing others that has to exist. To your point, we've got to ask the Lord, pull us out of this hole that we've created. Help us supply the church with faithful, qualified, passionate leaders to lead worship.
Yeah, that's so good. Luke 10, Jesus doesn't say about praying for the harvest. He says, pray for workers. The harvest is fine, but we tend to pray for the harvest and never pray for the workers.
Come on.
You know,
amen to that.
I, for whatever reason, we think it's hard to find a harvest, and it's not really, not if you actually go to work.
Nope.
So yeah,
100%.
I think that's something that we need to continue to work on as the body of Christ, specifically in America. I mean, we're seeing it other places, and I love the expressions internationally. But you know, we have our own style here in America. So, but it's still,
there's no doubt,
it's still important to do the work. So yeah, man. Robbie, I really appreciate the time and the message. I think it's really important. Where can people go, hey, how do I learn more? Obviously, there's going to be church planters here that are like, I'm not thinking about any of this. Can I get some help? You know, what would they do?
First of all, worshipinitiative.com. I mean, that's our online platform. We serve churches big and small. And when I say small, church planters, we have, simple acoustic versions of our songs. We have full band versions of our songs. We have all the training that we've talked about, pastoral ministry, leadership training. And then in that is this invitation to community. And you're going to see that if you go to worshipinitiative.com. And let me just say, not only can you cast vision for your church plant right now, but if you find somebody, good chance they're not a, professional. Let's just be real. And so do you have a training platform for that 1, 2, 3, 5 group of 7, the Worship Initiative? That's what we do. And so churches all over the country are offering Worship Initiative to the men and women who are saying, I'll lead worship this Sunday at our church plant, meeting in the elementary school. What songs are we playing? Okay, I'm logging into Worship Initiative. I'm learning the songs. I'm learning ministry training. I'm ready to go for this Sunday. That's why we exist. And so worshipinitiative.com, love to have any of your church planters, jump in with us.
That's awesome. Really appreciate it, Robbie. This has been fun.
Thank you, Chesley. Bless you, brother.
Yeah.